In your name, O Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is Advent. It's not Christmas. Advent is our season inside this building. It's the shortest season of the church year, and it's often ignored because we're looking ahead to Christmas. But it's not Christmas. Think about this. About a month from now, on December 25th, by 7 o'clock in the evening, lots of us will plop ourselves down into a chair, right? In absolute exasperation, and we're so tired, and we'll say, "Thank God, Christmas is over." But it's actually just the very first day of Christmas. Christmas is the first day of Christmas. We are in Advent. That's what we celebrate. And how do we do that? What's Advent for? Well, it's for lots of things, but it is mostly for, as the psalmist says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." We need to suspend some time and get ready, but not just for Christmas. We are not mostly getting ready for Christmas. We're about to be the work of patience and preparation and wonder. It's a mystical time of the year. It's about time and the thought of time and penitence and waiting and watching and remembering that we are not only or mostly waiting for Christmas. I was talking about this earlier in the week, and a fellow said to me, "Well, isn't that a little bit radical, Dennis, to be telling people in a church that what we're not doing is getting ready for Christmas?" Well, I'll let you decide what's radical or what's not, but you see, it's Christmas out there in the world. If you don't believe me, turn on your radio. Walk into a store. Check your credit card bill. All those things, the world says, it is Christmas as if there is no Advent. And we just wear ourselves out trying to find a necktie for Uncle Tony who doesn't need another one. We need to take this time and think about the gifts that Advent might bring, how we prepare, and the thought that we are not preparing for Christmas. I think it's radical what's going on out there. Are we supposed to be radical? This man continued to say, "You know, you're putting a lot of tension into this Christmas." Well, Jesus' ministry was loaded with tension, was it not? He couldn't cure somebody without getting into trouble. And he came with this message that says, don't be so quick to hitch your wagons up to your government in Rome or to your church leaders. They want something from you. What I want is for you to be a people to each other. That's where the work is. The work is to be a person for another person. Is that tense? Is that radical? I don't know. I think it's a little radical for people to tell me that I'm not allowed to say God bless you. Or at a certain time of the year, I can't wish somebody Merry Christmas. If I want to wish somebody Merry Christmas, I'm going to do it. Because I haven't met the person yet who's offended by it. Have you? The one possibility was my nephew a couple years ago who said, "Uncle Dennis, I'm an atheist." I said, "Well, happy nothing and cynicism then," and we had a laugh. Is anyone really offended by this? I think it's a little radical for all of us to give up on our beliefs because somebody out there says, "I don't like to hear that." Are we called to be radical? Maybe we are. And if we can't be radical and hold on to those things that we believe, then how can we possibly be the ones who remind the world that refugees aren't criminals? That it's not a sin to be without a job, or to be hungry, or to be cold, or to be homeless. If we don't remind each other, the people in this world here, that God's love for us is not stated by our circumstances, if we can't do that, then who will? If not us, then who? Is that radical? I'm not sure. We are called to take care of each other, but in a very deep way. It's not enough for the people that come in here on a daily basis for lunch, or the people that come in here every other Saturday and get a meal. That's not enough if all we're giving them is food. We are called to this deeper thing that says that I can look into your face until I see my own. And then I can begin to serve, because if I look deeply enough into your face and see my own, then eventually I can see the face of Jesus, and he's the one that said, if you're serving them, you're serving me. That is not supposed to be radical, but I believe in our world it has come to mean that. Are we called to be radical? I don't know. It seems radical to me out there. In Advent, we need to enter this mystical time of when we let go of time and replace it with trust, because after all, we're not waiting for Christmas, are we? Christmas happened 2,000 years ago. When we're a child, we wait for our Christmas presents. As an adult, we wait for something different in our world. We wait and prepare and hope that we can finally be ready when our Savior comes in another way for us. It's a time of suspending time so that we can wait for something that happened long ago. Now, the people in the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah, they were waiting for Christmas, because the announcement to them is, I'm sending the one from the branch of David, the man of righteousness. I am sending him to you. You can begin waiting for Christmas. And it wasn't a very long wait at all, was it? About 650 years. 650 years of suspended time and trust while we waited for the Messiah. Think about that. The faith and hope that was required and the stories needed to be passed down from fathers to daughters and mothers to sons, that we have a promise. We don't know when the promise will be fulfilled, but we have the promise. It takes preparation to wait, not knowing what the date is, does it not? We move forward in time, beyond the time of Jesus' birth, beyond even the time of his resurrection, to the time when the church is being built. And Brother Paul writes beautiful words to the people, the Thessalonians. Listen to these words. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? I mean, those are lovely words. As he's trying to build up that church and he's reassuring the people there, how can we thank God enough for you? Now, if you move ahead a little bit into the next chapter, it says something like, what are you knuckleheads doing out there? I've been getting these letters saying, you're not doing the work. You're not doing the work. When I was there, I worked my fingers to the bone, Paul says, every day taking care of myself so we can build up this community and be ready for the Lord when it comes. And the people said, well, we are waiting for the Lord. But you don't wait for the Lord like you're waiting for the bus. We don't know when he's coming. We don't know how long it's going to take. There's this Advent watching and preparing and thinking and praying and hoping work that someday we know we'll have that time when Jesus will return. But Paul, to make his point, says that's not how you wait, by doing nothing, by waiting for something else to occur. In fact, he even said, tell them if they don't work, they don't eat. And in a spiritual way, if we don't do the work of Advent, will we get to the table? Are we getting ready? There's a word for Advent. It's actually two Aramaic words that kind of get stuck together. It's Maranatha, and it can mean a variety of things, but mostly it means come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. In some ways, we understand it to mean come quickly, Lord Jesus. There's an urgency about our wish for our Lord to come back, because that's the season that we're in. That's what we're preparing for. But if we're willing to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, look at the words Jesus told us to prepare for. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. With that in mind, can we really say, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready? That's what Advent, I believe, is meant to remind us, that in this time, in this world, in this place, how do we serve? How do we prepare? What we're working toward, what we want to be ready for, is this beautiful thought from our gospel reading. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Can we be ready when he comes to stand up and raise our heads and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus? Can we be ready? Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks that we have a place outside of the world here to gather in your name and consider your world. Help us to prepare an Advent for your coming and for your coming again. And help us that when that day comes, we can stand there and hold up our heads to you. Amen.